Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're with us tonight, and I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. I also want to thank LA Talk Radio for rerunning our shows on Friday. But remember, you can listen to any of our archives on the LA Talk Radio website, on Dr. Pat Allen's page. Anytime, you can download it and listen. So the call-in number is 323-203-0815, and that's the number you call, so you get to talk to Dr. Allen. And so now I'm going to say, Dr. Allen, we're live on the air. What have you got to say?
Hello.
Hi. I hear the Monday night show was out of this world.
It was a full moon, and it was all very nice.
Ooh, full moon madness.
The man that served the office, the room, was busy bringing in chairs.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yes.
It is so exciting when we're packed like that, especially because we only get to do that once a month. And that was it for us for August. So everybody go to the website and check out our dates for September, because I don't have them right now because I don't have my Susie. So www.drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen, I keep getting these crazy phone calls. They're like, does she only do classes? And I'm like, no, she does private appointments in Los Angeles and in Orange County and on the phone.
Right.
So you love that, don't you, Dr. Allen?
Yes, I do.
Doing those private appointments.
I do. And I don't have repeat appointments. You can't come to see me unless you have a reason. In other words, I don't have every week you go to see me. You come to see me and talk to me when you have a question, when you have a situation. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I'm there to help you think, speak, and do better.
I know, and it's amazing. Hey, Dr. Allen, our great guy, Ronan, at the radio station, has just told me something that I didn't know. I missed this. We not only get replayed on Friday, we get replayed on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we're live on Thursday answering questions from our audience.
Hallelujah.
I'm loving it. I didn't know it. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to tell Susie. I'm glad everybody knows that. LA Talk Radio is where we are live. LA Talk Radio is where you can download us. But if you want to look at our classes and sign up for our classes, you got to go to our website, which is wantistore.com. Or to sign up for our newsletter, you know you've got to go to drpatallen.com. So, Dr. Allen, are you ready to take calls tonight?
I'm ready.
All right. Let me tell our wonderful Ronan that we are ready. Oh, we got one already. He's on the ball. He's just my absolute favorite.
And by the way, men are welcome on this show.
They most certainly are. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Have you got a question?
I had a session, one-on-one session with Dr. Allen this week, and I was listening to last Thursday's show where a woman was on the show, recovering norepinephrine addict. Mm-hmm. My question is...
That's something.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if
those
you're...
Are
what are some of the signs...
addict. What?
Right. What are the signs you're a norepinephrine addict, and how does it happen? Like, is it something your mom did,
I'll
your
tell
dad
you
did?
How it happened. I'll tell you how it happens. Number one, it happens before we're 3 years old. If we have been raised in a pain-centered home, whatever the pain is, physical pain, it may be you have a handicapped sister or brother That's secondary emotional pain. If there's too much pain in the home, the child under three produces too much cortisol, which strips the nerves of myelin and results in shortening of our telomeres. Those are the ends of your neurons. They can tell if they do an autopsy on your dead body when you're old, they can tell by the length of the telomeres on the ends of your neurons that you had too much pain stimulation. So with that in mind, do you know that pain addicts get anxious when they experience pleasure? So they tend to sabotage pleasure. Did anybody hear the poor athlete that was arrested for selling pot today?
No.
I'm not going to use his name because I can't remember it, but I'm not anyway. And he just got signed up for a $2 million baseball contract.
Wow.
Demo.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a track history of alcoholism. You see, we find out by the time we're three where we can get some peace. And I hate to say it, but it's in my case in particular, it was sipping what was left of my dad's beers.
Right.
He was alcoholic.
But how do you know? Like, you're 3 years old. How can you remember? For example, I remember always eating sugar.
It isn't whether you remember, it's do you sabotage your life, especially pleasure, ruin relationships, late for parties? You know, don't show up, put it in your book wrong. I mean, it's amazing. Pleasure, you know what? You know why people are afraid of pleasure when they're raised on norepinephrine? Because they're anticipating when it goes away, the pleasure, when somebody takes it away. And the anxiety, I just wonder how many people are out there listening and they think, oh my God, that's the reason I sabotage all my relationships and do and say exactly the wrong thing so I can get out of the anxiety of pleasure.
Well, I have a pattern of if I'm chemically attracted to a man, sleeping with him before having conversations and agreements, I have a pattern of drinking alcohol, not excessively, but I like to drink wine. I started calculating my wine, and it was anywhere between per week, 11 drinks to 17 drinks per week.
You want to know something? Anything that produces glucose, lettuce produces very little. I haven't had a lettuce addict in years. I qualify as a broccoli addict.
Mm-hmm. And now that I'm tracking it, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to stop because that's too much. I make a lot of money and then I spend just as much money. Is that another sign?
Anything that causes you anxiety is replicating your norepinephrine. Don't forget to read Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And his brand new book, funnier than a cob, called Behavior, about good and evil, Robert Sapolsky, teaches at Stanford, specializes in anxiety. His book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. You know why zebras don't get ulcers? Because they live in the moment. That's where be here now. You know that wonderful spiritual guy? What's his name?
Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle. be here now. If your house is okay and your body's okay, rejoice in it.
Right. I used to be running right on time to like 1 minute late. I've gotten better. I tend to make a lot of money and keep spending it. So then I'm just always, you know, like nervous.
Anxious.
Yes, nervous. I got to look at my thing. Yeah. And then with
anxious.
The guy thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much I meditate.
But it's very painful
yoga.
For a pain addict to abstain from pain.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an element of addiction there too, Dr. Allen?
Darling, norepinephrine is what you're addicted to.
Yeah, it's kind of like you like the jumpy thing, you like the coffee.
What?
You like the speediness in your body, like you kind of like the coffee feeling.
Yes, you like the caffeine feeling and the nicotine feeling and the whatever.
And then that's why I drink the wine at night, because I'm all of a sudden just really quickly, like within 30 minutes, I can come down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a bad cycle.
The only problem is the up and down of the glucose sets you up for diabetic too. Do you know how many people are getting diabetes too?
Yeah, I do know. I exercise so much so I can sneak away with it.
Well, all I can tell you is we are what we eat and what we drink and what we use.
So if you're addicted to that kind of hyper feeling, oh, there's a hummingbird right in front of me right now. Oh, wow. If you want to have more, like, is it normal? Is a normal person sort of just pacing their day, feeling pace in their day? Not kind of excited about everything.
You know what the biggest aid for this is? Exercising, walking, 20 minutes a day, not even hard walking. Exercise produces endorphins and enkephalin, which keep the body comfortable. Do you realize that exercising can keep a lot of things under control that we often take heavy-duty drugs for?
Well, I'm a regular exerciser, but I tend to teach, like, you know, spin classes and then yoga classes to balance it out, like crazy fast spin classes with loud music.
No,
and then yoga.
I'm talking about walking. Go to the local mall and walk around. Just walk around.
A person who is not addicted to dopamine or norepinephrine or any of those addictions, how do they kind of feel in their bodies throughout the day? Like, what's a normal person who's got...
Because
I wouldn't know what it feels like.
That's because you've never allowed it. I've been sober off alcohol and sugar and wheat and all, whatever, for 46 years. And I can
how does that
tell
feel?
Now... It feels serene. My body feels serene. You know what that means? It ebbs and it flows with pleasure and pain.
Okay.
You understand?
I don't think I feel that.
No, I don't think you do it. I have to take medicine to keep it level. What are they called? I'll think of it before the end of the show. But I have spun up so high. Blood pressure, 250 over 148. That's gushing nosebleeds.
Yeah.
There's no reason I'm alive other than I had the marvelous opportunity to have great psychiatrists and great therapists and great medical doctors.
So if you were under the age of 3 and you had a mother who yelled a lot and drank, that could do it? Even if she didn't hit you or anything?
It wouldn't do you any good. It would do something.
Right. Dr. Allen.
The problem is, it's when you find the solution. Not everybody takes up pain. A lot of people take up exercise. A lot of people take up art. You know, your creativity exists at the edge of your wound. So most of the great art in our world is created by emotionally sick people who are doing things to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. Allen, doesn't Gabor Mate talk about even in utero, the mother's stress level and attitude has an effect?
You know what? The adrenaline causes nervousness, but thank you, Lord, cortisol does not cross the placental barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So if cortisol crossed the placental barrier, nobody would be born.
Right.
Nobody. There are babies
so if
born
you're in your-
with ulcers
mm-hmm.
from the anxiety of living in their mother's womb.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in your 40s and you know you're starting to be have this awareness that it's not normal to be sort of on edge and you want to control it without alcohol and sugar, the first two steps are just completely take out the alcohol. What if you already exercise? Like, what would the first 2 to 3 steps be?
They would be the rest of the 40 steps. First of all, I'm telling you, what you eat, what you drink, and what you exercise will take care of 90% of your medical issues, and I can prove it with my body.
Would you suggest EMDR for her, Dr. Allen?
Of course. EMDR is an upgrade from shock treatment, which used to wipe off the nervous system with electricity. Now we've got EMDR teachers, and if you want, call EMDR in Austin, Texas, and get a list of the therapists in your neighborhood who can administer it. What does EMDR do? It puts your thoughts and your feelings in the same conversation, so you're incrementally desensitizing to your anxiety under the care of a trained EMDR therapist. If you want to read about it, read Francine Shapiro's book, Getting Past Your Past.
Beautiful. We're going to have to go. EMDR. We're going to have to take another call. Thanks, caller.
Thank you very much. I'll listen again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent stuff, Dr. Allen.
That's good. I'm Here trying to go. Think of my beta blockers.
There you go. Beta blockers.
My potassium and my calcium so I don't overreact neurobiologically to stimulants. Otherwise, I have so little myelin that if I was still drinking, I'd have delirium tremors.
Yes. I understand that. I've actually had an experience with a friend of mine who had a problem much like that, and it was really frightening. We've got a caller. Hey, caller, you're on there with Dr. Allen. Would you like to ask a question?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you so much. I was just calling. I remember you said something about after you date someone a few times, then if you don't think it's a match, what to say?
3 times I said specifically, I'm not evasive, secretive, condescending, or abrupt. Well, I might be abrupt. Anyway, I want you to date 3 times. Everybody who's attracted to somebody acts weird on their first date. You act really cool when you don't care, but boy, do we act up when we do care. So you were going to ask something about the 4th date?
Yeah, I have, this man was dating me about, I think we may have done already more than 3 dates, but 4 or 5.
But well, do you have any chemistry for him?
Yeah, we do seem to have chemistry, but that seems to be like the only thing. I'm not sure if we're compatible or...
You don't have compatibility in communication. Well, chemistry is fun, at least for a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. You don't have to marry everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I felt like if I...
Is he 51% entertaining?
Yes, I think so.
Well, then why can't he be one of your three men?
I don't know. It's such a weird feeling. I feel like part of me really likes him, and then part of me feels really uncomfortable. I did talk to you before about him. He's a widow. And then last week I went to his house, and then I felt really overwhelmed with sadness being at her house. So I wasn't sure.
Well, it was his house, too.
Yeah, it just felt so weird. Like, he had pictures of her up and her stuff. You know,
wait a minute. You're only a date, dear. Those pictures can go down when he's engaged to you. See, what you're doing is, you're like the woman that walks with a man down the street and looks in a wedding dress store. Oh, that's so great. And the guy says, I don't want to marry you. I just met you. In other words, if you're just on a date, you're gathering data for a decision, yes or no, later. But if you cut out dating people that are decent, that's a boring life.
Mm-hmm. I guess that
makes
sense.
Are you a norepinephrine addict? Do you tend to sabotage all your fun?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of scared. Like, you know, it felt good.
What's
like
scary?
Making out. But then after like making out, I always felt really like toxic and like sick. You know, like there wasn't really any
from the pleasure or the guilt. I'm talking about affection. I'm talking about sitting and holding hands in the movies, or arm around you, or petting your hair. We're not talking about rape.
Mm-hmm.
Touching is a big asset for affection.
Yeah, I like that part. You know, we were supposed to have a date tonight, but then I canceled because I just felt so nervous about it.
What for?
I wasn't sure. I don't know. I wasn't sure if I was leading him on. Or
honey,
didn't you tell him I don't
have the right chemistry for us to commit? I will not have sex casually, and I'm not going to lead you on or use you. So if you date me, it's because we get along.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't say that part. Date people? Yeah, I guess that's what I have to learn to do.
Well, it's called friendship. It's friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to have that feeling of being friends, not just physical.
I got news for you, but I like the energy of sexuality to hover close by.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when somebody's sexually interested in you. And as long as they don't rape you,
enjoy the buzz. Yeah.
So
I don't know why I can't just enjoy it.
You think you're not?
I want to know who told you it was evil. Who told you? Who molested you? Where did you learn to be so afraid of touching and intimacy?
I think from my parents. You know, they're like, I grew up Catholic, and they said, you know, pretty much it was like evil to do without marriage and things like that. I'm not sure if that was what I said, but I always feel like I was.
I'm very spiritual and very moral, and I put intercourse, oral, anal, and vaginal, in a separate category. Hugging and kissing affectionately, dancing is the sexiest thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun.
Can you dance, or is that immoral too?
Yes, I can dance.
Well, then why don't you go dancing once a week and desensitize your phobia about pleasure?
Okay, dancing in like a club?
Yeah, no, why don't you go take some classes? We'll even give you supervising teachers. Would you like to desensitize your phobic reaction to sexuality? Would you like that? You want to go to tantric yoga?
That would be fun.
Well, why don't you do that? What city do you live in? Where do you live? Yoo-hoo. Did I lose you?
Sorry. Pacific Palisades area?
You live in Los Angeles. Dawn Cartwright has a wonderful tantric yoga studio in Santa Monica. Her website is dakinimoon.com. Dakinimoon.com. Tantric yoga.
Okay. .com. Great, I'll look that up.
And I promise you, you will not be ordered to have intercourse with anybody.
Oh, that's good. And now that I canceled with that guy, like he said, he still wanted to do something.
Then why don't you try something with him? Tell me why you don't want to do anything with him. You don't have to marry him.
I don't know why. He just sort of scares me a little bit. I mean, he is like nice overall. Seems like a good person. But sometimes he does say weird stuff, like when I said, that about not wanting to have, intercourse, unless I'm in a committed relationship.
Ooh, I like it.
He said he would respect that, but he said that sort of sounded like a 13-year-old girl.
I got news for you. I agree.
You what?
Why are you still living in a 13-year-old way?
Me? You feel like I am?
Yeah. But I'm happy that you're willing to consider dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love dancing.
Why is dancing different than sitting in a movie theater holding hands?
Yeah, I like sitting in a movie theater holding hands. That's really nice.
Oh, good. Oh, good. That's great.
I like that.
Well, then you're not 13. You're 18.
Yeah, I guess I get scared when it's like total nudity or something, and then I just feel really...
Who asked you to be totally nude?
I did end up like that with that guy.
You went to bed with the man nude?
Well, we ended up making out, and we're nude, but no intercourse. I didn't have intercourse.
Congratulations. That's called a massage.
Yes, it was nice.
If you put a different name on it, it all of a sudden becomes different.
Yeah, that's true.
If
maybe
you don't want to be sexual, don't be sexual. But if you want to be sexual, you're going to have to undo the rigorous training you received about God created everything on the body except genitals. Genitals are created by the devil. Is that right?
No, it's not. That's not right. But that's what they were saying, basically.
So, why don't you go take dance class lessons? And go with the class after class and go to a dancing hall and learn to desensitize your fear of touching. And there's a wonderful book by Ashley Montague called Touching.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll look that up. Touching.
Touching, just touching. Ashley Montague.
Now, should I tell this guy that I'd feel more comfortable, you know, with, you know, going a little bit slower?
You tell him, what are you going to tell him?
Well, I don't know. Do you think I should say that? Like, I'd feel more comfortable, you know, just keeping clothes on or, you know, not going so far.
I totally support you in doing what you like to do and not doing what you don't like to do. I do not want you to do anything that will make you afraid of him as if he's like your parents and controlling you out of you. There's another book I want you to read. It's called Toward the Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow. It's about being a full-blooded human being.
Okay.
He writes that two kinds of people. Deficient people who are not fully evolved and being people who are evolving. Do you want to evolve in all your characteristics?
Yes.
Well, then start desensitizing. You don't have to do anything that isn't comfortable for you. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want by having the guts to ask for it.
Yeah. Sometimes I get in the situation and I just sort of blank out and then like feel like I can't leave or can't, you know.
No,
stop.
You know what you do? You go home and he becomes mom and dad.
I mean, afterward,
you
I go home and
convert him into mom and dad in the Catholic Church. Are you still Catholic? I'm Catholic. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm Buddhist.
Okay. I lecture Buddhists. I lecture them. I'm just not one of them. But they like what I say because it sounds close. Do you know that Pope Francis told the priests, please forgive women for having abortions about a month ago? Mm-hmm. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's huge. That's so great.
So you have chemistry,
whoever you are.
You said you had she said she had chemistry with him. But she didn't feel she had compatibility. So what makes you think that?
I understand that, but I didn't think we were going for the wedding. I thought we were going on a date.
Yeah, the compatibility. Well, I guess we were somewhat compatible. I guess because of his wife dying, I thought maybe we weren't compatible. And we do live like a little bit far, but not really. I just kept worrying that he just wanted a physical relationship just to cope.
So you think you're the rebound person?
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. Or Pat said last time, don't
you know what? Doesn't really matter as long as you're not having intercourse. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. That helps me so much from coming to your classes to say no to intercourse has really helped me. That's like first thing
I swear to God, it's my major gift to mankind. And you know what's true? Men know they shouldn't be getting free sex. They know it. But they hold us accountable for being free sex partners. It's not. Men do not fall in love with your vagina. They fall in love with your virtue.
Yeah.
You know why?
Like he would say I was sexually blocked and stuff, like trying to get. He's like, well, some people
men
have sex right away.
Men are horny because they're built that way. But we're responsible for saying yes.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I would have been like obsessed with him if I had had intercourse.
I understand that. Well, you've got enough, Pat Allen. to say no to that, but you're saying no to everything else too.
Yeah. I know. I was looking forward to going on a date, and then I was like terrified of staying up all night and worrying about it afterward.
I got news for you. If his penis doesn't go in your mouth, anus, or vagina, what are you worrying about?
Yeah.
What are you worrying about?
Yeah, it sounds like you have buyer's remorse and you haven't even bought anything.
Yeah. I know. I guess I just have this fear of being only a sex object. Not.
I got news for you. I join you in that fear. But you can't be a sex object if you don't allow intercourse. You can't.
Even if you do everything else?
If you do everything else, you're affectionate.
Okay. I like that. That's a much better word.
I call intercourse the God moment. Do you realize that when we have intercourse, we may be creating a new human being? Isn't that a God deal? Wow.
Amazing.
God moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, go play, woman. Go play.
Okay, I will work on that. I'll do some dancing.
Good.
And I've always wanted to try that tantric yoga.
So
you mentioned tantric yoga.
Yes, tantric yoga. Oh, yes.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Very understandable. I see that she had been raised in that environment. Where
so was I? I know exactly what she's talking about.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Hi. A man has been dating me. We met online, and I just found out that he's been lying about his age. I'm turning 30, and he's, 46 going on 47. And I was wondering if that's going to be like an issue. But because my parents, they were 15, 16 years apart. My dad had me when he was like 50, and it was pretty lonely growing up. And this guy, he wants kids and all that. So I don't know if it's going to be an issue with the age gap.
Well, it is for you. If you say it's an issue, it's an issue. I'm 83, but I love the person that told me, you're the oldest teenager I ever met.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's not an issue because we have good chemistry. I like him a lot. I just don't understand why he lied about his age.
Because you're doing exactly what he lied about. You were turned off by his honest age.
Mm. Okay.
You met him and felt his energy. Mm. And that allowed you to be attracted to him. Yes or no?
Yes.
If you had known his real age, chronological age, we are how old we are inside. Mm-hmm. I am not 83 years old. If this is 83, I never saw it before.
I agree. Yeah.
And think about this. Tony Randall had his youngest child. Tony Randall was 75 years old when he had his youngest.
What's wrong with that?
Not a thing. That's what I mean. It's ages, like you said, Dr. Allen. How many times we've been around the sun?
So
okay.
I appreciate that you may consider him incompatible age-wise because of the negativity of your dad being older and being, There are young men that are boring.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Do you have chemistry for this human being? Does his life fit into your life? Do you see what I'm saying? Does he make and keep his agreements? That's what makes a relationship, not how many times you circled the sun.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's all I have. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
You're right, Dr. Allen. There are some young men that are incredibly boring. I dated a man who was 10 years younger than I was, and he was a sleeper, man, I'll tell you. He was one of those people that was just born old. Very dull.
You know, it's so true that we are what we make ourselves. We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. That's George Bernard Shaw.
Isn't
that a wonderful phrase?
It is, and I totally agree with that. And somebody just said to me the other day, I'm old. And I said, well, how old are you? And because I had no idea. And they were like, well, I'm 48. And I was like, geez, then you must think I'm the Ancient Mariner. I mean, what are you talking about? It's like, are you kidding me? God, that's not really old.
The funniest thing I ever experienced was I went for a medical something, and the person said, how long have you been retired? And I said, retired? Why would I retire? I make my money talking. If I'm talking, I can make money.
Oh, yeah. We got a caller on, Dr. Allen. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a new fan of yours. So I am 23 and my ex is 29. He broke up with me because we were incompatible due to long distance. I decided that I wanted to go to grad school for another 2 years, and he's just started a career. So we're both going through major transitions right now. We've been separated for almost 3 months. And he reached out to me after 1 month just to check up on me. And he even tried to call me about 2 weeks ago, but I did not pick up because I didn't want to hear his voice in fear of rebonding.
What is your question? I'm hearing a story about incompatibility.
Right. So my story, well, right now I'm starting to do duty date. A week ago, I was on a date at the zoo, and I posted a 5-second video of me on social media of animals. And my ex watched it immediately, and he unfollowed me also immediately after seeing those videos because I sense that he knows that I'm on a date. And I think that he's probably mad at
me. He knows you're on a date. You canned him.
Right. So now that... I mean, before we broke up, though, he said that he would... I said I didn't want him back unless we will get married if he's going to come back. So he agreed, and he said that if we're still single by the time I graduate, then he will marry me. So now the my fear is that because I've shown that I'm dating other guys, or he knows I'm dating other guys, will this hurt my chances of being married to him in the future?
Darling,
just turn him off.
What is your question?
Oh, I'm just asking, will this turn him off? Because I want to be married to him. But if he knows that I'm with other guys, will this hurt my chances?
I don't think if he doesn't want to marry you, he will marry you. Why don't we let him tell you?
Well, the thing is, we talked about that we will get together if we're single, but in 2 years. So I'm just saying that if a guy, if a man, he's very alpha. If an alpha man knows that I am.
I understand. Outdated. Do you want to tell him you made a mistake when you terminated him, or don't you?
But the ball is in his court because
what?
He's the one that initiated. But the ball is in his court because he initiated
the breakup.
No, it isn't.
It's in yours. You're the one that got rid of him. You have to call him and tell him you made a mistake. You want him back.
I did do that, but he didn't want to do long distance.
Then you have to move, but don't move unless you're engaged.
Okay, so right now I should just duty date, continue duty date, and just do
no,
live why don't my life.
No, tell him you would move near him if you were engaged.
Okay.
Why not?
Because she says she's going to grad school somewhere. And he has a career, so.
Well, so, two career people can get along as they. He wants you nearby. I'm sure there's a school. My bachelor's degree is 200 units because my husband kept moving. He was a coach, and he kept moving. So I kept moving, and I changed my major, and then round and round. Are you willing to go to grad school near him? That's the question.
No, because then because we're not engaged, so I don't want to make that sacrifice. And I know he's not ready to be engaged because he's
then
going
then you're not compatible.
Transition.
You're not okay. Compatible.
Okay. So I shouldn't worry. There's no point in worrying
don't
right now.
Don't do anything
about
with him. What?
So I'm not going to worry and just continue to find a guy locally if I can.
Well, you're saying, I want to be with this man, but I want a man who wants to be where I want to be. And so right. You're going to be the man, and you've got to find a woman with a penis that will let you live where you want to live.
Okay.
So okay. That's okay. Two men right. Can't get it on. Gay guys, top man, bottom man. You know, book
yeah,
woman,
trying-
femme woman.
I'm trying to be more feminine or act better.
Darling, I don't see any sign of it with this man. You want him, you've been with him, and you've dumped him because you want to be in grad school where you want to be. So admit it. You're willing to pay the price of losing him. That's all you got to do.
Okay. All right.
You have a right to do what you're doing, but it's going to cost you him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we're just not compatible right now. Yeah.
All right. You're incompatible.
Thank you so
much. Okay?
Yes.
Thanks, caller.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
That's an interesting one, Dr. Allen. I don't think I've ever heard
That's
of any...
Interesting.
That two people would break up and say, if I'm single in 2 years, then we'll get back together. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I find that unique.
I hear it all the time.
Really?
And the truth of the matter is the one that left is the one that gets rejected. Because the mm-hmm. rejected one inevitably replaces you.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah. That was a first for me. I would just think if you were breaking up, then you would just, you know, move forward. So, very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yep, yep.
Wow. Okay. So, Dr. Allen, we only have a minute left. So, I wanted to say...
What do you want to say?
We have some really great stuff going on, and I want everybody to know that they can find out about it first at www.drpatallen.com if they sign up for our amazing newsletter that we put out that has all kinds of interesting tidbits and things like that. I want to remind everybody that we still have a special going on for some of our great products, and they should check that out at the Want Eye Store, wanteyestore.com. And of course, they need to follow us on Facebook and tweet with us because we love that stuff. And I want to know what you have to say tonight before we go.
Well, I'm going to say my favorite thing. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amazing. Everybody, remember, we don't only broadcast live on this Thursday night time slot. We're also replayed on Friday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays at latalkradio.com. So go there, see what we've said if you've missed our other shows, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.